Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, we're going to talk with Dr. Paul Kanger, who is a leading conservative cultural commentator and one of my all-time favorite guests on this program. He rejoins us. This time, though, we're going to talk about something different. Paul is a best-selling author. His most recent book is Takedown, which traces the Marxist roots to the assault on the traditional family. And there are some insights in that book about Planned Parenthood and its founder, Margaret Sanger. Again, in that book, Takedown, what we want to talk about right now is this recent scandal involving Planned Parenthood. Paul, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jerry, good to be back. Thanks.
Sure. Now, for those who've been in a cave in the last few days, tell us what the latest scandal is about Planned Parenthood.
Well, there's a group that calls itself the Center for Medical Progress, which I love, by the way. it's a pro-life group, and they're, you know, obviously playing with the progressives' use of the word progress there. But they have done a undercover expose sort of sting video where they talk to this doctor, quote unquote, named Nukatola, I believe is her last name.
Right.
And she is, I don't know if you have the exact name in front of you of the position, but it's pretty much, I think, the equivalent of a chief medical officer for Planned Parenthood. She's very high up. She's one of the leading medical officials in Planned Parenthood.
And here she is having a nice casual meal with a glass of wine, and she's eating her salad, and she's discussing baby body parts, which can be pruned or saved from the aborted babies, but they wouldn't, of course, use that word. And these can be sold, you know, at different parts like heart and liver, livers especially. Those are the really good ones. But let me ask you a question. How could, I mean, it's just so disgusting in every way you can imagine, but what would a need be? What need would there be for, let's say, a baby's lungs or a baby's heart or liver?
Well, you know, that's actually a very good question. I don't know if you know this about me, Jerry, but I went into the field that I'm in now, I was pre-med.
Right.
I think you do know this, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was, I worked for the organ transplant team at the University of Pittsburgh, which was number one in the world.
I've asked the right guy. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they pioneered the procedure. And I even did, I was the, what they call UNOS representative, United Network of Organ Sharing. For kidney transplant patients, and I must tell you that at least back then, I don't know what they would do with organs this tiny. Now, I suppose that some of them might have some form of medical utility on a newborn that might need a transplant, but even then, you'd have to get those, you know, sorry to be so descriptive of this, but you'd have to get those organs out of the aborted baby quickly and literally on ice where they could still be fresh and reusable. Another thing, I mean, generally, you know, you would think that they would use the tissue for fetal tissue research, which, you know, some people claim can cure Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and all sorts of other things. There's no actual proof of that, but, you know, that's what they push. So I'm not entirely sure of the medical value. I would say the ethical value here is another thing entirely. And, you know, the image of this woman, which you can watch on video, sitting there sipping her Chianti while she's enjoying a Caesar salad, it's like something right out of the movies. And it reminds me of a C.S. Lewis comment about how some of the worst crimes ever committed by totalitarian regimes were by men with polished fingernails and fine suits. Right? It's never these knuckle-dragging, foaming-from-the-mouth monsters with blood dripping from them. You know, a lot of this stuff is committed by quote-unquote doctors. And it also shows you, too, I mean, this doesn't surprise me at all to watch this. I'm glad people are horrified that are watching it. But, you know, Jerry, you've been in the pro-life movement for a long time, and we know that there have been quite literally countless numbers of abortion doctors who, after going to quote-unquote work for the day, punch the clock at 5 o'clock, and then come home, and after killing dozens if not hundreds of babies, bounce their son or grandson on their knees.
Yeah.
And they never think to themselves, well, I'm going back to work tomorrow to do evil. right?
Right.
Now, they think that they're going in to do good. They think they're going in to help a woman, to support a woman's right to choose. And so that in a way is what has always been so frustrating to me about this. The people that are doing this, they're not satanic figures.
Mm-hmm.
where they're proclaiming to do evil. They think they're doing the right thing, and they're so nonchalant about it. And that's why these battles are so difficult, and frankly, they're so difficult to win.
Hmm. Well, what's interesting, too, is the Media Research Center did an interesting job where they listed the way the mainstream media is handling the story and the spin and so forth, and it just shows you, you know, we're really in a culture war, you know, to put it nicely. I mean, this is very barbaric, and yet when you have the spin from the liberals, you'd think that, you know, there's nothing to see here.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was thinking today about if MRC had done any sort of analysis yet. I had seen the actual video right off a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, I think, Drudge put it up. I was surprised Drudge was kind of late on this, especially given that Drudge has always been pretty good on pro-life issues. And Drudge, the piece that he linked to was a Washington Post piece. And I thought, this will be interesting. And I read the Post piece, which was written by two young women, and it totally excused this. It said, the exact language was something like, the video doesn't show the Planned Parenthood operative explicitly selling organs. And I'm thinking, what do you want her to do? Hold up a jar with a baby lung in it and say, okay, this one's $45. Okay, here you go. I'll take your cash and let me write you out an invoice. No, if that's what you're looking for, that ain't there.
Yeah.
But she's clearly talking about this and supporting it and describing it in great detail. What do you want? You want a picture of her actually doing the procedure before you'll be outraged? And then I went to the reader's comments, especially given that it was the Washington Post, and so many quote-unquote progressives and liberals reacting to this by saying, you conservatives, you're not adopting enough children, you know? One woman that jumped in, God bless her, she said, I'm a pro-choice independent, and this is horrible.
Yeah.
And how dare you liberals come out and defend this?
Mm-hmm.
Can we not condemn this?
Wow.
But most of them were they refused to condemn it. They continued to live in darkness, and it just goes to show you that sometimes it just doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They will still continue to defend it, and it makes you wonder too, Jerry, how much further can the evil go, as they will continue to defend it? And I think the worst thing of all, and I'm afraid this is going to happen with some of the marriage decisions, where florists and bakers and religious people are persecuted, the liberal media won't even cover these things, and so people will be persecuted.
And we won't even know it.
The general population won't even know about it.
Yeah, that's, as a matter of fact, one of the Baker cases, the one in Oregon involving, you know, Melissa and Aaron Klein, Sweet Cakes by Melissa, the powers that be there in Oregon have actually given a gag order that the family's not able to talk about it. So they will have to pay this exorbitant fine for the crime of not baking a cake where they normally serviced everybody anyway. They just couldn't in good conscience, celebrate a same-sex wedding. But not only have they gone out of business, not only do they have to pay this big fine, they can't even talk about it. They lose their religious rights and their free speech rights.
That's right. It's a $135,000 fine.
Yeah.
They have a court-imposed gag order of silence. And I'm wondering who put the gag order in the liberal media that's not even talking about it. And as to how this really, 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 really matters, when Anthony Kennedy issued that horrible decision in support of same-sex marriage on June 26, 2015, and he talked there about how he basically said something like, well, now, if this would lead to the persecution of religious people, this would be bad. Well, it has been for several years, Justice Kennedy.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be far worse because you've made it a constitutional right. And people like me and you were yelling at him saying, have you been living under a rock for the last 5 years?
Mm.
Well, the truth is, he hasn't been living under a rock, but he probably reads the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Huffington Post, all the groups that ignore this kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
downplay it, excuse it, or yeah, really primarily ignore it. So if Kennedy's ignorant as to what's happening with the Kleins in Oregon or Elaine Photography in New Mexico or Jack Phillips in Colorado or whoever else, well, it's just because he reads stuff like the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this, a lot of the evil and persecution here, you can really lay at the feet of a complicit media,
yeah,
a complicit liberal media, whose silence ends up becoming acquiescence and even aiding and abetting of these evils.
I totally agree. Now, just to clarify, Paul, can you say again what your particular role was, you know, in the 80s when you were involved in the medical field as a pre-med student and so forth, and especially in dealing with organ plants and, you know, organ transplants and so forth, or organ parts?
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't ever recall dealing with organs that small, that tiny. I mean, literally that small. I know it might sound kind of simplified, but let me be real specific on what we did. We would get on a helicopter, and I didn't actually do any of these rides, but I would be there and I would watch them, and I could have gone on them, but I usually didn't. I was usually on the receiving end, waiting back at the hospital
for the parts.
For the part, yeah.
Okay.
A person would. Usually they weren't dead yet. Typically the most common donor was, you know, a motor vehicle accident, MVA. I don't know how many donor films I filled out, Jerry,
yeah.
That said 20-year-old male MVA motor vehicle accident.
Oh.
Brain aneurysm was another. And typically what you had is you had patients who were not dead yet. They were basically brain dead.
Yeah.
And they would get a consent from the family member. And then they would remove the organs while the person was still alive. That's usually how this happened.
Wow.
And then they would take them and they would put them in the special packaging. We called it ischemia time, the amount of time that the organ was actually packed and cooled. And then we put it in one of those, what do they call the, trying to remember the name of the...
A sealed pack of some sort?
Yeah, no, the cooler.
Vacuum
Kool-Aid,
pack?
Play something, Playmate.
Sure, Playmate.
We would put them in that.
Yeah, like a picnic type thing.
Exactly.
You know.
We would put them in those, and we'd put them on the helicopter, and then you'd get them back to the hospital as quickly as you could. You usually took them from within your own region so the organs couldn't get old, and you know, you had to keep them fresh. And then we took them, and we transplanted them directly into the patient. So the idea of taking a tiny, tiny little heart
mm-hmm.
out of, say, an unborn baby 4 months after conception, and finding something that you can do—if you could do something with that—that seems really odd to me. Now I know a liver, and this woman was actually talking about livers.
Livers, right?
Yeah, livers
and hearts too.
Yeah, that's right. Livers have more value because that's an organ that can regenerate and can actually grow. It's the only organ in the body that does that.
And you know what's so ironic, too, is for years, all the abortionists do is promote the idea that, well, it's not really a baby. It's it's a product of conception. It's a
right.
clump of tissues and stuff. Oh, it's a clump of tissues, and yet this clump of tissues actually has viable organs that are of some value to somebody, even if it's just for research. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. It shows right there what a flat-out horrible lie that is.
Yeah.
And she's talking, this doctor, quote-unquote, she's talking to the person undercover about the best way to extract
yeah.
the baby, the unborn baby, and to crush it in a way and kill the child in a way as to not smash those organs.
Wow.
And my understanding of this is that what she's describing is the same kind of procedure that partial birth abortions
It would have to be. It would have to be. Something where they, let's say, they just crush the head.
Exactly.
But leave the rest of the body. Well, we have less than half a minute to go. What would you like to say in closing? It is horrible. It is horrible. And in your book, Takedown, you know, you have a mini expose there on Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, who was no saint by any means. I mean, she was very racist, even spoke at a KKK rally. You go into all that. But you have 10 seconds. What would you like to say in closing, especially about Planned Parenthood in this new story?
Well, this is progress to progressives, right? What started out as mere contraception with Planned Parenthood under Margaret Sanger has become taxpayer funding of abortions and even the harvesting of organs of unborn babies.
Thank you, Paul Kanger. God bless.